name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we find here of a parable that Jesus has given. He's talking about four different grounds. Talking about one seed and one sower, but four different soils that the seed has come upon. And so we have to know and understand this morning that he's talking about people that are saved, people that are not saved. He's mentioning here, again, four different soils that the seed has fell upon. And there are some, there are some in this parable of four that are saved. There are some that are lost. And so we're going to find out this morning, hopefully, with the Word of God, who is really saved. I want you to notice, number one, as we start there in verse 12, that the first one, the first soil, the first people, the first ones that he identifies is those of the work of Satan. The work of Satan. Now, the work of Satan in verse 12 is very clear because it says the devil. And so we're knowing that the devil is involved with this individual. We know the devil is the one here that is going to do what he does. And it's the devil that's in full charge and control of this individual. Now, as we look at this morning, I want you to notice several things about the work of Satan. I want you to notice, number one, the plan of Satan. The plan of Satan is seen there in verse 12. Now, I'm talking about when you hear the Word of God, when the preaching is preached, or the Word of God is taught, and the Word of God is like a seed that's been planted in your life, planted in your heart, planted upon you, and what happens from then on. He goes on to say that this morning, there's the work of Satan in this first individual, this first soil, this first ground. And this plan of Satan is identified in verse 12, the last portion of it. He says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest, L-E-S-T. That's an important word. Lest they should believe and be saved. So what is the plan of Satan? What is the plan of the devil? Lest ye be saved, lest ye believe and be saved. That's his plan. He takes every single one that may hear the Word of God, that may be preached the Word of God, and the Word of God comes on their hearts, as that verse 12 says, that the Word of God came upon their heart, and that he comes of that, and he takes it away so that they don't believe and be saved. You see, that's the plan this morning of the devil for every single person in all the world. 7.4 billion people all across this world, his plan is that they shall not believe and be saved. And so that's what's going on. That's what's taking place. And so when you hear the Word of God, whenever you get taught the Word of God, or when the Word of God is upon your heart, you better just know and better believe that if you don't believe that word, it is because the devil has now taken that word away out of you so that you won't be saved and so that you won't believe and be saved. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved, you can just say the devil took the word of God away. You can just say that the devil is in charge of your life. You can just say that the devil is one who is your father and you're his child. You can say that you as an individual who is not saved, is not of God, is not a child of God, but you are of the devil. The devil is in your life. The devil is around you. The devil, his whole plan is that you die and go to hell. His whole plan is that you never believe. You see, you think you don't believe because you're smarter than God. You think that you don't believe because you think the Word of God has errors. And you think the Word of God is written by man. And you don't believe because you think you have something greater and bigger, something of more intelligence than God. But see, what you don't understand is the devil is a playground and you're in it. Amen? The devil is in charge of you. You think you're in charge. You think you have it all in order. You think that how you're living and what you're doing and the rebellion and the stubbornness that you have towards the authority and towards the preacher and towards his church and towards your parents and towards your spouse and towards those who are trying to see that you get saved. But you just won't believe. And you're thinking you won't believe because you just don't want to give up your sin. You don't want to believe because you just don't want to come to church. You don't want to believe because you just don't want to change to be like Jesus. You don't want to believe because you say that it's a fallacy. It's fake. It's not real. But what you don't know, it's the devil that doesn't want you to believe and be saved. And so as long as you go on unbelieving, it's as long as the devil will be in charge. You just keep on going on unbelieving as long as the devil is on your side. It's the devil and you that are partnered up. It's you and the devil who has said, I am not going to believe. And it's the devil that has taken that word and taken it from your heart so that you won't believe and be saved. That's his plan. And his plan will be until you die. He doesn't want you ever to believe. He doesn't want you ever to be born again. He don't want you ever to have your sins forgiven. He don't want to ever have you have peace and the joy of God. He don't want you ever to be part of the church. He don't want you ever to live for God. He don't want you ever to go on with the God. That's what he wants. That's his plan. And so we think that the devil has really nothing to do with this, that I'm just living like I want to live, do as I want to do, and yet the devil has everything to do with it. Let's rethink this thing, dear sinner friend. So we find the plan, lest you should believe and be saved. See, that you not be delivered from Satan. Now, what does it mean to be saved? It means to be delivered, right? So Satan, devil, don't want you to be delivered from him. So if you believe and be saved, then you get deliverance from the devil. You get deliverance from Satan. In Colossians chapter 1, it says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, friend, without being saved, without being delivered, you're still in Satan's kingdom. You're still a child of the devil. And the devil don't want you to be taken away. The devil don't want you to be delivered. The devil doesn't want you to be at all come to the place where you're free from his power and his struggle and his plans. Jesus said this to the Pharisees in John 8:44. He says, you are of your father, the devil. Now, what were the Pharisees trying to do? They were trying to destroy Jesus. They were trying to kill Jesus. They were trying to remove Jesus. And Jesus looked them square in the eye and said, you are of your father, the devil. And you'll do as your father tells you to do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And so are you. And so we find very seriously and soberly this morning that when he says that you but not believe and be saved, he's saying to deliver you from Satan. But number two, he says that you will not be rescued from hell. You see, friend, it's not just do I believe Jesus is Lord. It's not do I believe the Bible is true. It's not that I believe coming to church and following the Lord and loving Jesus and being obedient to him and being all that he asked me to be. It's a heaven and hell question. To believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil will do everything he can by removing that word off your heart and so that you can't come to believe and be saved because the devil don't want you to be rescued from hell. And you're going to hell, and one day he'll be right with you, and all of y'all will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, friend, I don't know, but I love your soul more than that this morning. I'm preaching out with all my heart this morning. I'm giving you all that I got to let you know that it's not okay if you don't believe. It's not all right to go on and just with your life. Because see, friend, not believing this morning is saying to God and saying to Satan, yes, Satan, I am going to hell. Because you're not going to, because God's not going to rescue me unless I believe. So we find the third definition or meaning of this word saved is not only delivered from Satan and rescued from hell, but it means healed from sin. He doesn't want you healed from sin. He doesn't want you to have guilt removed from all the sin you've committed, all the things you've thought, all the imaginations you've had, all the people you affected, and all the substances and all the words and just all the activities and behaviors of what you did in your entire life, friend. I don't care how old you are. You got some things that you've done that you're embarrassed with. You got some things you've done that brought offense to a lot of people. There's some things in your life, friend, that you don't even want to bring up again. You want to forget. And yet at the same time, the devil doesn't want you to believe and be saved because he don't want you to be healed from your sin. He wants you to live in guilt. He wants you to live in shame. He wants you to live in regret. He wants you to take the pills and drink the bottle. He wants you to go to the psychiatrist and psychologist and counselors and therapists. He wants you to sit in a dark corner somewhere. He wants you to be off on the road on the side. He wants you to be away from everybody. He wants you to be to a place, friend, where you're not usable any longer in society. You're no functional anymore in the family. He wants you to take on all the guilt and shame and regret of sin. But you won't believe. And it was him that taketh away the word, lest you believe. And be saved. And being saved means being healed from sin. He doesn't want that. It means being delivered from Satan, rescued from hell, healed from sin. And then third and fourthly, to be protected from death. Protected from death. The Bible says in John 5, he says that we have, when you believe, you are passed from death unto life. See, the devil knows that if you believe and be saved, that you would have victory over death and the grave. You know, the greatest fear today is death. The greatest enemy that we have is death, and the Bible says that Jesus is the one who defeated the last enemy, which is death. And so we find that death is used in many areas, in many ways. COVID is one of them. And other places that they begin to get people to move in the direction that they want them to go in, to do as they want them to do, by the way of fear. Fear. And in this fear, we find that the devil is wants you right there. And so he's going to do in the way of taking that word of God that you have heard with your ears, that's landed on your heart. He is going to take that word out so that you can't believe and be saved because he doesn't want you to be protected from the grave or from death. He always wants you to fear it. He always wants you to be motivated by fear of the grave and of death. That's his plan. That's his plan. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 speaks of removing yourself from the snare of the devil. So I'm just saying this morning, the work of Satan is, here's the plan of Satan. That's his plan. Number two, the power of Satan. The plan of Satan, the power of Satan. Look at verse 12, we see the power. It says, those by the wayside are they that hear the word of God. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Don't tell me that's not power. That's power. I mean, listen, friend. He is the one who is coming to the place which is the center and the central place of all of our affections and will, the heart. The heart. The Bible says that he, the devil, he cometh and taketh the word out of their hearts. I mean, listen, it came through their ears. It came down 18 more inches. And then it reached into the seat and the central of man's will and affections. You'd think that it would be secure there, don't you think? You would think there'd be nobody that could touch the word now. It's right here in my heart. But the Bible says that the devil cometh and taketh it away. We're no match for the devil. Listen, we don't have anything as way of power or anything in the way of strength and force to look at old smutty face, to look at old Satan, old serpent, and look at the old devil and say, come on, man, let's fight, because you'll lose. If he can reach down and come to the place where this word is residing, and that is right there out of their hearts, and he can take it away. You see, the heart is the center and seat of all spiritual life. This is where you get saved. This is where your life is changed, in the heart. This is where spiritual life begins. This is where eternal life happens. The heart of man. Not the body, not the mind, the heart. That's where it all takes place. And now Satan is in the grounds of your heart, and he is taking that word that you had and he is removing it. See, your heart this morning is the seat of your thoughts, the seat of your passions, the seat of your desires, the seat of your appetites. It's the seat of your affections, the seat of your purposes, the seat of your endeavors, the seat of your intelligence, the seat of your will, the seat of your emotions. It's the seat of understanding. That's the heart. You say, boy, that's a lot. That is a lot. You know what's wrong with people who are alcoholics? It's not alcohol. It's the heart. You know what's wrong with people with drug addicts? It's not the drugs. It's the heart. You know those today that are abusers of women? It's not that there's women. It's their heart. And those that are stubborn, and those that are rebellious, and those that are coming up against God this morning, it's not because of who they say it is. It ain't because of what they say it is. It's their heart. It's got to be a heart change, a heart place, a heart surgery. Something has to take place within your heart, because what you are and what you think and your passions and appetites and affections and your emotions and your will and your understanding is all right there. And guess who else is there with it? The devil. Wow, what power that is. The devil, when the preaching of God's word is given, when the teaching of God's word is given, when mom and daddy and home devotions are given the word of God, if they go to school and they teach the word of God when they give it, whenever they hear their friends or the neighbors or grandma or grandpa or anybody take the word of God, it doesn't matter who the messenger is, it's the message that's important, the word of God. As that word of God comes into the ears of you, to the ears of sinners, to the ears of all of us, that word comes in and it goes directly to the heart. And when it gets to the heart, it's the devil that's there who brings the doubts. Who brings the doubts. You don't know to bring the doubt. What do you know? It's not God bringing the doubt. You think it's the Holy Spirit of God bringing the doubt? Who's bringing the doubt? Why would God bring a doubt? Why would anybody giving you the Word of God want to bring a doubt? Why would the world want to bring a doubt? They don't even care. You don't even know. You're just learning. You're understanding. You're getting it all together. You're learning that you're a sinner. You're learning that He's a Savior. You're learning that you must repent of your sin. You must put your faith in Jesus and be born again. You have to learn all. You got to know all that by the by preaching of the Word of God. And so while you're there, the devil's there. And then the doubt in your heart is the devil. Not is there doubt, does he bring doubt, but he brings confusion about the Word. Hey, when somebody's preaching to you and teaching to you, whether it's your preacher, whether it's your mom and daddy, whether it's your friend, whether it's your neighbor, they're not trying to confuse you. They're trying to bring you to salvation. But that confusion is the devil. He brings the confusion about God's Word. He brings the doubt about God's Word. He brings the dislike to God's Word. You know, you have some people who hear the Word of God and they get saved and born again and they love God's Word. Then there's some that hear the Word of God and they don't at all respond to the Word of God and they still don't like the Word of God. You think it's God? No, it's the devil. He's taken that Word out of their hearts. And it's bringing a dislike to God's Word. It's bringing a question to God's Word. I've never seen anybody. I remember when I got saved October 30th, 1988. I didn't have any questions. All I knew was I was a sinner. All I knew that Jesus was Savior. All I knew I had to repent of my sin. All I knew I had to receive Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that and I was saved. It's done and over. It's been like that all my life. Since I've been saved. So there was no questions involved. Everybody I see with questions are those that they hear and then they bring those questions and the devil is the one who's taken that Word out of their hearts. So it's bringing a distaste to the Word of God. Not only a dislike, but a distaste. In other words, they say, well, don't really like that word, so I'm going to get another word. Brother Keith taught on the King James Version this morning, and we had some comparisons to the NIV. It's not inspired version. That's what NIV stands for, not inspired version. Now, I just made that up. Yeah, the King James Version, and you have the not inspired version. We had some similarities to it. The NIV is the most selling. The NIV is the most usable. The NIV is the most known, the most quoted, and all that kind of stuff. And so all that NIV stuff is all out there. But here's the problem. That's not a Bible. And those who dislike the Bible, dislike the Word of God, would run to that Bible. The King James Bible has the Holy Ghost of God who has been its creator. As the Bible says in Peter there, it says, as the Holy Ghost breathed on them. The Word of God that we have as the King James Version Bible is a Bible that's alive. You can't kill it. You can't destroy it. That same Holy Ghost of God is the same Holy Ghost of God that will come and bring you the Word of God and that Word of God in your heart, and the devil will take it and remove it. And then you'll have all kinds of dislikes toward God's Word and run to the NIV. Satan takes away the Word of God out of your heart. To me, that's alarming. To me, it's just a wonder that any of us get saved. It's just a wonder that any of us know God. This devil, this Satan, the hater of Jesus, the hater of the Bible, the hater of God, and the hater of the church. Hebrews, turn with me if you don't mind to chapter 4, look in verse 12. Let's talk a little bit about the Word of God and the work of your heart. And why the devil would want to take it from your heart. Hebrews chapter 4, and look there in about verse 12. It's a well-known scripture concerning God's Word, but it's very powerful. Because the question to me is this, and I'm kind of analytical with this kind of stuff, is okay, I know the plan of Satan is to take the Word of God out of my heart so that I won't believe and be saved. But why my heart? Why not my ears? Just make me deaf so that I can't hear. And then make me blind so I can't read Braille. Or just make me dumb where I can't understand nothing. Why are you dealing with my heart? Well, this is what the Bible says concerning when the Word gets to your heart. The Word of God is quick. That means alive. Powerful. More powerful than the devil. And sharper than any two-edged sword. And so this Word of God, it cuts. I mean, it cuts on both sides. It cuts deep. It cuts wide. Nothing at all is going to dull it. It will do its job. It says piercing. That even sounds like it hurts when you use the word piercing. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, we're not talking about something within us that's shallow like a skin. We're not talking about something with eyes like a bone. We're talking about this Word of God that is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword, is a piercing and dividing the soul and the spirit. It's going down deep into you and I. When you hear the Word of God, you may think it's just in your ears, but oh no, it's a reaching down in the heart. It's reaching down there, and it's cutting as it goes. It's a piercing as it goes. It's dividing as it's going. It's got a job to do. It's got a work to do. And it gets down in there, it says, of the joints and the marrow. Boy, I'm telling you, we're getting down deep in where it all is. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, oh Satan, whenever he hears you, hear the Word of God. And that Word of God is running through your ears and down to your heart. And as it sits in your heart there, it's about to do the work of what the Word of God said it will do. And Satan has to, and quickly and immediately, he's going to have to remove that Word before that Word gets to working. Amen? And so, boy, when he knows when that Word gets to working, not only is he going to, because he can't go as far as the Word of God can go. He can just go of the heart, but the Word of God goes to the intent. Woo! He gets down into the motives. He gets down into what you intended. I mean, you don't have to say nothing. You don't have to think nothing. You know, you just have to sit there like maybe like a doorknob on a door. Like a stump on a log. And that old Word of God is cutting down in that heart and in the imaginations and the intent of your heart. Mama, daddy don't know. Pastor don't know. Spouse don't know. Friend don't know. Nobody knows. Matter of fact, you probably don't even know. But God knows. And boy, Satan says, I've got to get that Word. I've got to get it removed out of here. Because if that Word gets any further, and it gets down there to the joints, and gets down there to the marrow, and it gets to dividing down there to the soul and the spirit, and it starts touching that intent of that heart, and gets on them that imagination of the heart, friend, I've lost this soul forever. I never gain them back again. And man, I can't have that taking place. I got to get here quick and remove it. Boy, if he believes, he'll get saved. Amen. Have y'all thought about this before? Y'all looking at me like a new calf in a good game. Like, man, where did this guy come from? This guy was born at night, just came off the truck last night. Isn't that what it says? I'm just trying to give you what it says and give you a little idea so the Word of God cuts to the heart. And the Word of God convinces the heart. And the Word of God converts the heart. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. I'll read it for you. You might be a little doubt there. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's how you get saved. And that's why the devil has such a rush and such a big time that when you hear the Word of God, like right now, you're hearing the Word of God, and the devil's going to do everything he can to bring a doubt, to bring a dislike and a distaste, to bring a confusion among you about the Word of God that I'm preaching for you now, because he knows that that Word of God gets down there and it gets down in the heart, it will save you. That's not his plan. That's not his purpose. Now, if you want to stay with the side of the devil, you go right ahead and just let me know so I can call you little devil. Just when in a minute when we walk out and say, hey, brother, I'm going to stay on the side of the devil. I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to get saved. I'm going to be rebellious and stubborn. I'm going to live like that. I'm going to do it my way and however I can do it. I don't even like coming to this church. I don't even like you. Just at least have enough character or integrity or enough about you to say, hey, bro, I'm a little devil. Can you do that? You ain't got enough courage to do that. If I was a betting man, I'd bet you all that I had that you wouldn't do it. Matter of fact, I would do something like this, like I'd double dog dare you. Double dog dare you. You don't want to believe Jesus. You don't want to believe God. You don't want to believe His Word. You don't want to do anything right. You don't want to do anybody says to you. You want to be rebellious and a heathen. Then tell everybody you're a little devil. Let's go on. At least we know where you're at. And so we find the Word of God is the work, is in the heart. But can I say here secondly, I want you to notice the Word of God makes one wise. Look there in the 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm talking about what the Word of God does so we can understand why the devil wants to take it out of our hearts. Not only is the work of God, the heart, but then the Word of God makes us wise. He says, verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, that's the Word of God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's why the devil wants to remove the Word of God out of your heart before it gets it working, because he knows that that Holy Scripture is going to make you wise unto salvation. He doesn't want that to happen. Man, he's going to do everything he can that don't happen. I mean, it tells us how to be saved. It tells us what to do to be saved. It tells us why we need to be saved. It tells us how to stay saved. It tells us how that you and I can know we're saved. I mean, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto God's works. Do you think the devil wants you to get that? He don't care if you come to church and don't want to come. He don't care if you neglect the Word of God. He don't care if you ever pray. He don't care if you even mention the name of Jesus. But he does care when you hear. When you hear the Word of God. He jumps out of hoops. Wherever the Word of God's being preached and taught, you can just remind yourself, oh, smutty face is here. You might hear it. He can't stop you hearing it. He can't stop me preaching it. But what he can do, before that Word of God gets it going and the working of it, he can stop it in such a place where he takes it out of your heart so that you don't become wise unto salvation. Can I say here thirdly concerning this Word of God? Or thirdly here talking about the plan of Satan and the power of Satan, but can I say here, the presence of Satan. The Bible says, then cometh the devil. He's in here. He's amongst us. Isn't it amazing when Jesus went to the synagogue and he's teaching and he's preaching his word? It's where the majority of all the unclean spirit, all those who were full of the devil, all of those who had the devils cast out was in the synagogues. Listen, man, the devil's going to fight until the end. Presence. He's at the time of hearing. He's at the time of preaching. I mean, turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse 15. This is another account out of Mark rather than Luke. Look what he says about his presence. Talking about Satan's presence. Chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately." Immediately. So I'm taking this morning, whenever I began to preach, or when Sunday school was taking place in all Sunday school classes, guess who showed up? Satan. And immediately, those that were unbelievers, those that didn't know Jesus, he began to affect them immediately. And as they was preaching and teaching the Word of God came through the ears, it landed in the heart, and at the heart, as he began immediately to take it out. The presence of Satan, the power of Satan, the plan of Satan. That's the first person, the first. I don't know if you are of that person today. You've heard the Word of God many times. I mean, you've been in church all your life. I mean, the Word of God's not something new to you, but you're just not saved. You just don't believe. Friend, there's just no doubt in your heart right now that if you'd die, you have no idea where you'd go. Because you're just not born again. What is the answer for all that? Well, the reason why you're lost is because the devil has came immediately, have taken the word out of you so that you shall not believe and be saved. Number two, and I'm just going to preach two of them, then next Sunday morning I'll preach the next two, okay? I got something else here tonight. Boy, it's going to be exciting tonight. You've got to come back tonight. I mean, it's going to be good tonight. I ain't even there yet, but I know it is. It ain't because of me, it's because of this word. Not only do I notice the work of Satan, but I notice, number two, the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh. We see this verse in back into our text of Luke chapter 8. The next ground, the next soil, says verse 13, "They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in them of the temptation fall away." This is all about the will of the flesh. This is all about coming to a place where you find some emotions in the way of the gospel. And Matthew chapter 13, keep your hand there in Luke, but go to Matthew chapter 13. The same account gives a little bit more detail or a little bit more wording that's different. Luke 13, verse 20. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20. "But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that beareth, heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth." Anon. What does that mean? A-N-O-N. That's another word that we don't use. That's another word that I don't think anybody heard that this week, did you? Anon. And so what does it mean? It's important for us to know that. So we need to understand that it means that he received that joyfully. It means something he did immediately. It means he did hastily. It means something that he did without thinking. Something he did without considering. Something that they did without taking it all into account. Just they hear God's word, they get under the emotions of it. The preacher says, "Come, get saved. Oh yeah, I want to get saved." And you come down and pray a prayer, says, "Pray after me." You know, all that takes place. And you walk out of here and you're not born again. Anon. And so we find that it says, anon with joy. That's emotions. Verse 22. "He also received a seed among the thorns as he heareth the word in the care of the..." Chapter 4 of Mark. Mark chapter 4. The same account, but a different, little different in a way of wording so that we can see the emotional side of this. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. There's that word, that emotional word, gladness. And then it says in verse 17, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, no root in themselves. So there was no root in them. And it goes on that they have endured for a time, then they were offended. Immediately they were offended. That's another emotional type of thought. And so you find there into our text, it was based upon a feeling. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. Joy, gladness, anon, a little while, they went a little while, they went away. All that talk, it's your verbiage, is all emotions. Glad, you get sad real quick as you get glad. You got joy, then all of a sudden you get sadness. Anon is just making a hasty move or making a hasty choice. You do it for a little while, and then you fall away. All that's emotional based. All that's feeling based. This individual, this ground, it was all based upon feelings. Now there's a lot of that salvation or so-called salvation going on today. Feelings. The preacher can get you, and we got a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing today. We got a lot of pastors up here that are preaching the Word of God, and they're not preaching for the glory of God or for Christ's sake. They're preaching for money's sake. They're preaching for prestige. They're preaching because mom and daddy wanted them to be a pastor, so their mama called and daddy sent. They have it as this is a career. This is a job. And so they're doing it to make money. They're doing it here to secure the future. And some preachers are doing it so they can get a better church or a bigger church down the road. All kind of motives, but when you get to the one who just has the motive, I just want to preach the Word of God and people get saved, you can't hardly find those anymore. And so we find a day that the preachers are sort of like hypnotizing people because they do a lot of things in order to get a lot of people to make a lot of decisions. For example, a lot of people, a lot of preachers give up here and give you an illustration. You know why a speaker, a professional speaker, will want to give you an illustration? It's because they want to take your mind and heart and emotions to a certain direction. If they want you to cry, they'll give you a sad story. They want you to laugh, they'll give you a humorous story. They're in charge of your emotions and of your feelings. And they want you to be somber, or they give you something that brings somberness about it. Music is the same way. If I go into a doctor's office, I got a certain music that kind of just says, I'm sick and don't feel good, but you know what? If I go down there to Monday Night Football, down here in the Texans, you'll find that they got the music, rock and roll, rock me. And boy, everybody's going, poof, poof, poof. We're ready to kill somebody. You don't find that in no dentist's office. Right? You want to go to a place and to a restaurant, and it's a romantic type of restaurant. They got romantic type of music because it's controlling your feelings, amen? And so we find that music is controlling, as well as preachers who want to control all this, and it's all feeling-based by your illustrations, by your stories, by your experiences. Instead of just giving the Word of God and letting the Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God do its work in the heart of the sinner that they may bring them to the place of salvation without emotions. Just like singing songs in the house of God. We sing them out of the hymns and we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and because we're not interested that the flesh may get some sort of a pattern going on. We're not interested in to get to a good feeling. I'm not interested in that you get to a feel better about yourself when you leave out of here. Listen, I don't care about any of that tonight. All I care about is are you saved and do you rejoice in the Lord and do you have the joy of the Lord? Nothing to do with the flesh. But I'm telling you, salvation today in the will of the flesh, many have been saved, or not saved, but so-called saved, by the flesh. It's all emotional based. Let me give this to you. I only got 5 minutes. I can't give you the whole thing, but let me just say it like this. It's based upon a feeling. The Word made them happy. The Word made them feel good. The Word made them feel right. That's what it means to be joyful, right? The Word of God that they got here, it didn't make them feel bad, didn't make them feel awful, didn't make them feel pricked, or didn't make them feel convicted. It didn't. None of that happened. They felt good about it. We find that not only is it based upon a feeling, but it was the belief without a filter. The word anon means at once, straight away. Matthew 13:21 said immediately they made this decision. That's why, let me just say this, and I was a new guy from Victoria at my work, and he came to Houston for some training. And so they asked him to ride with me, or asked me if they could ride with me, and so I went and began to go out and kind of show this guy what I do, which is not much, but anyway, so when we're in the truck, I'm thinking, okay, I got a guy in prison. It's capture. I'm driving. He's in the passenger side. He's from Victoria. And we're in my truck in Houston, Texas. I'm going down the road 65 miles an hour. He can't get out. It's like you, Brother Keith, when you got a criminal in the back of your car. He's not going nowhere. I said to him, I said, hey, I'm going to close on this. I'm not going to finish, but I just want to tell you the story. I said, hey, sir. I said, do you know the Lord? I'm always debatable. How do you get started? Right? Do you know the Lord? He said, the Lord. He said, I'm a Catholic. I said, I was a Catholic. I was baptized a Catholic in a Catholic church. He said, you were? I said, yeah, but I'm a Christian now. He said, and when he said this, he opened up the door, Brother Charles. He said, what made you decide to come from a Catholic to a Christian? He's asking me. Man, I'm thinking, yeah, that's how you get it right there. They asking you. I said, man, let me tell you. And I'm driving down the road. I got to put my gas on the cruise, right? Because as I'm talking, man, I'm pressed down because I'm getting, you know, I got to control myself. I got a camera in my truck. That'd be red flagging. You going 900? You going 900 miles an hour down on 59? So I said, well, let me tell you what happened there. I said, you know, the Catholic Church believes about the Virgin Mary, and the Catholic Church brings about the Hail Marys, and the Catholic Church brings about the Pope being infallible. The Catholic Church has their own Bible, the tradition of the Fathers. The Catholic Church believes you got to be a member of the Church in order to be considered a Christian. And so there was about, I don't know, 15, 16 things that I have studied about Catholicism. And I said, all those things are not in the Bible. And I knew that they're not in the Bible, so I need to find what the truth was. So I went to the Bible, and I began to read the Bible, and I began to understand that I was just a sinner and that Jesus was the Savior. And unless I repent of my sins and receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, I won't be saved. I will go to hell as a Catholic, baptized as a Catholic. He said, man, he said, I believe that too. He said, I don't believe all that stuff about the Catholic Church, but if I tell my mama that, she would kill me. He said, I've been for years trying to figure out, I know this ain't stuff. I know I ain't supposed to worship down. I know when you get to the Catholic Church, there's all these idols, right? All these statues. He said, I know that's not right, but I got nobody to tell me what's wrong with it. I said, let me tell you. And I began to tell him about Jesus, about salvation. He said, well, let me say this. He said, what you're saying is this. Unless I get saved, unless anybody gets saved and they believe in Jesus, they're going to hell. Is that right? That's right. He said, well, man, you're telling me that Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and all these other groups out here, there's a bunch of good people in every one of those people, those religions. And I just can't imagine God sending those good people to hell because they're not of a Christian. I said, well, your problem is you're basing your salvation and the criteria is on goodness. The very word of God in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 says that all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And it's the criteria and the foundation and the basis of salvation is not goodness. It's on faith in Christ. He said, I get it. I get it. I said, won't you ask Jesus to come into your heart? He said, I want to. I said, you know, right now I probably could lead you to that place, but I'm not going to. Because I don't want him to be the will of the flesh. Because I done gave him a bunch of scripture. I gave him a bunch of history. I gave him a bunch of stuff. It's already been an hour now, and we're just sitting in a parking lot now. We're not even going to doing nothing. So I said to him, the reason I'm giving this story is because I said to him, I said, I want God to speak to your heart and to convict you of your sin. And I want him to persuade you that you may receive him and repent. And I don't want anything to do with it. He said, I'll do that. Because I didn't want this guy to be moved with feelings and emotions. A lot of young people get moved that way. A lot of parents put a lot of pressure on your children for getting saved, and they make professions of faith, and you know it, and they know it, and it's not real. The will of the flesh. I hope there's nobody in this room right now that has the work of Satan in their life or the will of the flesh. Won't you come get saved? Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I believe with my heart I could just lead that guy right into salvation. But I don't know if that would have been true or not. Here this morning, this individual, they believed for just a little while and they fell away. We'll get more into it next week. But there's been a multitude of people in 24 years since I've been at this church who's come through those doors and they walked out the back door. Never seen them again. Walked through the front, out the back. What happened? Don't know. Some of those, several of those, come down and said they want to be saved. Majority of those got baptized in the baptistry. Many of those say, I love you, Brother Larry. I love this church. I'll never leave here. They're not here. They fall away. What happened? It may just have been the will of the flesh. And I tell you this morning, dear church, there's different styles of preaching, and I don't think that's important. But I can tell you this, my style of preaching probably could get you more excited than the next. Because I'm more passionate, and I'm more vocal, and I move around, and I'm just that type of guy is who I am. And I'm afraid through my ministry that some people's come up here because I've just made them feel good to be saved. But they really wasn't saved. It's just a ground, stony ground. They had no root themselves, and they fall away. Are you that away this morning? You sing, Brother George, and nobody comes, we'll just close. How about you? Let's examine our hearts this morning. This is a serious matter. I love you. I love your soul. And I'm praying that Jesus Christ would become the King of your heart. The Lord of your life. The very breath of why you breathe. You'll love Him. Oh my. You'll love Him. You'll love Jesus. Oh my. Come, dear sinner friend. Come. Don't let the devil do you that way anymore. Come, don't let your flesh rule you. Get in charge. Get over, and let God have your life. Surrender to Jesus. Yes, amen. No turning back. Oftentimes when somebody comes to me and says, Brother, I got a problem. I mean, there's somebody been in church for 5 years. Now they quit. They're out drinking. They're out living the world. They're gambling and doing all that stuff. They just walked away. Are they saved or they're not saved? Good question. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. That's a good answer. Good answer. The Word of God always has them. I'm glad I'm His. And I'm glad you're here. May the Lord bless you. Brother George, won't you dismiss us here this morning? Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Lord, at the same time, my heart goes to sorrow, Lord, and other churches out here, Lord.
Yeah.